So, well, here we are, Christmas Eve, we've made it. Hopefully you have your gifts wrapped. Yes, no, some, not all, most of them. There's gifts to be given, gifts to be received. Maybe some of you will get frankincense this year. Anybody give any frankincense? Well, of course, you're going to give it away, so don't raise your hand on that one. So frankincense was perfume. I'm not going to ask you if you gave any perfume. You may have. I don't want to ruin any surprises. But frankincense was a gift from the Magi for Jesus, and it was a gift of perfume. But frankincense was also a gift that was symbolic for a priest. Frankincense was used for scented oils and for use in the temple. It came from the Boswellia tree, or it comes from the Boswellia tree, excuse me. And it grows in Yemen and Somalia. To harvest some frankincense, you have to actually slash the bark off of the tree, and then the sap in there comes out, and then when it dries, they scrape it off. And so the resin beads come off as this yellowish-white bead, and that's what's used in perfumes today. That was used back then, still is today. It was used in the Old Testament in temple worship in Exodus chapter 30. It was part of the anointing oil. And not only any anointing oil would do, but there was a certain specific recipe that was supposed to include pure frankincense. It was consecrated to be pure and holy. And it was the only incense permitted at the altar. So that had to follow this particular recipe, and that was the only incense that was there. Other incense was used throughout temple worship, and other incense we see in different places. So for Jesus, being given frankincense was not just a practical gift, you know, like ancient air fresheners, if it were, but it was an appropriate gift for a priest, a mediator, a go-between. What is a mediator? What is a go-between? What is a high priest? Take a look, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, found on page 1035. If you remember to the beginning of 2020, we actually did a whole series on Hebrews earlier this year. So I have a pop quiz to see if any of you remember parts of this message from February. I was looking up and it's like, oh, that's right, I preached on this earlier. I can use some of this message. So some of this might sound familiar. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who is ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So what do we learn and what do we see about Jesus being a high priest, the one who receives this gift of frankincense? A high priest was a mediator. A high priest was the one who went into the temple on behalf of the people of Israel. So if you imagine a temple, you've probably seen drawings. I don't have one up on the screen for us today. But you see in drawings in the temple, and then the inner temple, the Holy of Holies, was certainly not big enough for everybody to kind of go through and go in and be part of. And so God set it up that there would be a high priest, one of the priests, to go into the Holy of Holies, to be mediator between God and the people of Israel for the sins of the people. The mediator was, today's term, we still use the word mediator, it's when two parties are in conflict. When there's disagreement and they can't work it out, a mediator comes in between the two parties and tries to help them work out the situation. and try to figure that out. Oftentimes we see the need for a mediator. We see it in Scripture with Job. If you remember what happened to Job, Job was tested by God, and he was having issues with his buddies, and they were taking one side and he was taking the other. And he said, if only there was somebody to mediate us, someone to bring us together. That's what a mediator does. It takes two opposing groups to bring them together. Between us and God, we are those opposing groups. Our sin makes us enemies of God. Our sin separates us. So we are in need of a high priest. We are in need of a mediator, someone to come between us and God. And only Jesus could be the perfect mediator. For Jesus to do so, he must be fully God and fully man. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. We hold that. You can look through church history and you can see conversations that happened over decades and literally centuries in the church trying to figure this out. And they came through and understood that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. And it's important that he's both, because he needed to be fully God to take the place for our sin, but he needed to be fully human to represent one of us. Now, if you ask me to explain that, I am not going to be able to. There are some things with God that are beyond our understanding. I can lay out some concepts. I can try to explain it. But there are some things with God that are just beyond what we can grasp. How God can be fully human and fully God at the same time in Jesus Christ? Yep. I'm not even going to try. But Jesus was a high priest, the mediator. We read this earlier from Matthew chapter 1, 22 and 23. This is, all this took place what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we have a mediator dwelling among us in Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. And it was the blood of the Son of God in Hebrews 9, verse 12, that states that he makes a final sacrifice for our sin. When God the Father sees Jesus, who we celebrate at Christmas, we remember at Good Friday, hanging on the cross, who pays a price, the Father says, the debt is enough. This is enough. The debt has been paid. The author of Hebrews gives us an understanding, too, that Jesus is our empathetic God. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness. Jesus is able to know our weaknesses. Jesus is able to know what we go through. Jesus is able to know our sufferings and our challenges because he went through them. Being 100% man means that Jesus, when he went through them, he felt all the emotions that we feel. He felt all the things that we feel. He feels the grief. He feels the frustration. He feels the loneliness. He feels all of these things that we feel. He's not one who's not empathetic our situation. He was tempted and tested and tried just like us in every way, struggling with the same issues that we struggle with. We look back at 2020 and thank goodness it's almost out. But we look back and we see the tough struggles that we've all had, the struggles that we will continue, it seems, into 2021. And we realize that these same struggles that we have are not unfamiliar to our Savior, are not unfamiliar to the one who came to bring us life. He was tested. He was tried. But he didn't sin. C.S. Lewis imagines somebody objecting here. He says, if Jesus never sinned, then he doesn't know what temptation is like. He lived a sheltered life and is out of touch with how strong temptation can really be. C.S. Lewis responded, this is a silly idea. A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is obviously a lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. Jesus knows temptation. He knows our struggle. He knows our weakness. He knows our wrestlings. He's the one who did not give in. He's not an arrogant winner, though. Have you ever noticed that? He's not the one who said, I made it, you didn't, ha ha. He is the one who looks at us with compassion and grace and gives that grace and compassion to us in our state of weakness. He invites us to draw near. And when we do, we see that Jesus is our advocate, a high priest who comes to the Father on behalf of his people. We have advocates. We still use that word today. An advocate is somebody who goes to someone on behalf of another. If there's something that's going on, we want an advocate to go to the judge. We want a lawyer. I mean, our whole legal system is set up where if you don't have a lawyer, we'll provide one for you. We need an advocate to go before us in front of a judge. In the same way, before we go through the throne of God, we have an advocate for us, Emmanuel, God with us. Because we have an advocate, we can go boldly before the throne of grace. We can come this evening and worship before God, calling on the name of God, with a personal relationship with the creator of the world, with the one who saves, because we have had an advocate and we have an advocate in place before God. So we can draw near to the throne of mercy and grace, not fearing retribution, not fearing judgment, but to be receiving of love and mercy. For the follower of Jesus, before the throne of God is a place of good news. The throne of God is a place of grace. This is the good news of Christmas. This is the greatest news. Instead of hopelessness and despair because we're separated from God, we have hope and joy in the midst of difficulties because of God's great love for us. This Christmas Eve, when you see Jesus in a manger, don't just see him as a baby, but see him as God's pure love in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. It's Jesus, the great high priest, the one worthy of the gift of frankincense that we worship. And so we bring ourselves to worship this evening, celebrating the greatest gift each Christmas, that we have a mediator between God and us, who makes the way between God and us possible. It's at Christmas that we receive this greatest gift. Let's pray. God, we give you praise for this grace. We give you praise for Emmanuel, God with us, for the gift that we celebrate. God, in this next day, we gather with friends, as we gather with relatives, as we maybe are home by ourselves, wherever it is that we are. God, may we remember the grace that you give in Christ Jesus. Amen.